Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, here at North Point, we have said that 2023 is our year of... Oh, wow, this side really strong over here. I'm not saying anything about this side, but this side was really strong over here. Let's give them a chance to catch up this morning. 2023 is our year of...
legacy.
That's right, it is our year of legacy. And the idea that we are going through this year with is this, is that we want to live the legacy that we want to leave. We want to live the legacy that we want to leave. We will never leave anything greater than we live. So if we want to leave a great legacy on this earth, that means that we have to live a great legacy while we are here on this earth. And this is graduation Sunday. What an awesome time to recognize our graduates and pray for them and celebrate them. But you know, one of my favorite moments of a graduation ceremony, right, is that moment where they announce, graduates, please move your tassel. I don't know if they sound like that in your head. That's the way it always sounds to me, right? Please move your tassel, right? And they move that tassel, and it signifies going from a student to a graduate. It signifies moving from one place to the next phase of life. But here's what I would tell you about life. Is that life should be a series of graduations. That our life should be a series of tassel-moving moments. Moments where we go from one place to the next. Moments where we grow from one level to the next level. After all, right, God said this. God said that we should move from glory to glory to glory, always moving. Why? Because with God, there is always more. Everybody say more.
More.
With God, there is always more. It doesn't matter if you are 23 or if you are 73. The principle is always the same. With God, there is always more. And we should be graduating into greater joy. We should be graduating into greater peace. We should be graduating into greater impact and greater influence. And so today, I want to talk to you on this topic of moving from here to there. Because that's what graduation really is, moving from here to there. And this is not just a moment where we look at those graduating from high school or graduating from college or another degree program and said, oh, wow, they went from being a student to a graduate. No, this is a word for our life. This is a picture for us, moving from here to there. And I pray that this concept becomes a part of your legacy. Now, we've been saying this is the year of legacy, and I talk about your legacy, and maybe you're thinking right now, if you haven't been here, maybe your first time in a while, and you're thinking legacy, but like, I mean, who am I, right, to have a legacy? I mean, is it legacy for like politicians and like famous people? No. Everybody will leave a legacy. Why? Because everybody leaves a story. And your legacy is simply the story that people tell about the person that you were and the difference that you made in their lives and in the world. That's why every single person will leave a legacy, because there will be a story that every single one of us leave behind about the person that we were and the difference that we made. And so I want this concept to be a part of your legacy story, because I want people's story about you to be this: they were always moving towards more. As long as I knew them, they were always moving towards more. They were moving towards more strength and more courage and more peace and more joy and more goodness and more generosity. They were always moving towards more. And the Bible makes it really clear. The Bible makes it clear that we can get more faith and more grace. That our hope and joy really can increase. And that our kingdom impact can multiply. Now, we may be sitting here today and say, yeah, I mean, that sounds good. I want the more of God, right? Like, I want everything that God has for me. Yeah, Philip, I want my joy and my peace to increase. Yeah, I want more hope and more strength and courage in my life. Yeah, I want double kingdom impact. That's what I want in my life. You see, while this might be the desire of our heart, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is the design of our life. And there is a big difference between the desire of your heart and the design of your life. Desiring to move from here to there is only the beginning. But that initial desire must be followed with an intentional design. Say it to you again. Our initial desire for more, our initial desire for everything God has for me, our initial desire to live the abundant life, our initial desire to move from here to there, it must be followed with an intentional design that will actually cause it to be possible. Now we see with Jesus, while he was here on the earth, he was teaching his disciples and modeling for them the importance of moving from here to there. Right? I mean, he was always showing them how to see people and then how to meet their need. He was teaching them and helping them to think bigger and to do more than they even thought possible. He was giving them the handles and the habits for their growth. And Jesus could give this to them. Why? Because he had lived this himself. This is what the Gospel of Luke says. Luke chapter 2, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Now think about that. Jesus grew in wisdom. Jesus grew in wisdom. As he grew physically, he grew mentally and emotionally. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. And by growing in wisdom and in stature, he grew in favor with God and in favor with all the people. Now, you don't grow in wisdom through intention. You grow in wisdom with your attention. Yeah, I'm going to say that again for you, Miss Carolyn. You know me well. You don't grow in wisdom with your intention. You only grow in wisdom through your attention. Have you ever intended to read a book before, but you didn't? Did you get any wiser from that book that you purchased? No. We all know the answer to that question. One of the most frustrating things in life is when you hear somebody talk about a book and they are talking about that book and all the wisdom that they got from that book and all the good things that came out of that book and how that book transformed their life and changed their family. And what you're thinking is, I got that book sitting on my bookshelf, but I never opened it. That's the most frustrating thing. Why? Because our life is not changed and transformed just because we had a desire to get the wisdom. No, there has to be a design to get the wisdom. I can't just purchase the book. I have to read the book. I'll just give you this definition as we kind of go in today to talking about how we grow in wisdom that will increase the favor on our life. How do we grow in wisdom? Let me just give you this definition for wisdom today, and it is this. Wisdom is the ability to understand what matters most ultimately, to know what is best situationally, and to choose that consistently. Wisdom is the ability to understand what matters most ultimately, that you have a big picture view, that you understand on a macro level what is most important about life. But wisdom is not just macro in life philosophy. It is also the ability to choose what is best situationally. that I know what I need to do when I get in this situation and in circumstance. I know how to handle this conversation. I know how to maneuver this difficulty and this adversity. Wisdom is to know what to do situationally. So there is the macro big picture, but then there is also the micro practicality. So I can have a philosophy of life of understanding what's important, but then I also have to have this practicality in my day. And when I put these things together consistently, understanding what matters most, and then doing the best every day, then I can live wisely. I've got to do that consistently if I'm going to live with wisdom. And here's one of the biggest misconceptions of life, is that we are getting wiser just because we're getting older. It's the biggest misconception. That I'm getting wiser just because I'm getting older. The myth of believing that we are growing just because we are going through things. It's just not true. I don't care what your grandpa told you. I don't care what anybody else told you, a teacher told you. Listen, you do not grow through experience. You say, well, Phil, how do you know that? If you grew through experience, Uncle Bob wouldn't have gone back to jail. If you grew through experience, once would have been enough. Uncle Bob would have got in jail and said, you know what? I don't want to ever do this again. But Uncle Bob went back, so we know you don't grow through experience. Cousin Liz would have never been fired for the fourth time. You don't grow through experience. You only grow through evaluated experience. You don't grow simply because you went through some things in life. You grow because you went through some things and you evaluated those things and it led to growth in your life, which takes us to something that I call the growth cycle. The growth cycle. And I want to take you through this growth cycle. We got it from Destin and I. We got it from our counselor, our cognitive coach. And so I'm going to use it today. If he ever comes and preaches here, act like you've never heard it before, okay? Just like, wow, it's the most amazing thing. But I want you to see this. The growth cycle, growth always starts with awareness. Always. We have a moment of elevated awareness that leads us into a time period of evaluation. Out of that evaluation, we begin to move into a brand new practice. We start practicing a new way of living, a new way of being, and then it continues along. Let's just go back to Uncle Bob for a moment. Uncle Bob would have gone to jail, gotten out of jail, and he would have had an epiphany and said, I you know what? I don't ever want to go back there. And so now we have elevated awareness. And out of that elevated awareness, now Uncle Bob would have had an evaluation. And he would say, okay, how did I end up in jail? I ended up in jail because I'm hanging out with the wrong people and I'm smoking the wrong stuff. And when I smoke that stuff, I make bad decisions. And when I'm with those wrong people, they encourage me to make the bad decisions, which then leads me into jail. I don't want to do that anymore. So elevated awareness, now I'm evaluation. So now what is Uncle Bob going to do? Uncle Bob's going to go have to get some new friends. I got a new practice. I'm not going to smoke that stuff anymore because it makes me do bad things. I don't want to do that anymore because I don't want to go back to jail. So he's got something new in his life. And each and every one of us, this is the way it happened. This is the way it works in your marriage. This is the way it works in your business. This is the way it works in your spiritual life. You got to have a moment of awareness when you go, aha. Right? In the church world, we call this a moment of revelation where something gets illuminated. Like you didn't know it, you didn't see it, you've never felt it. Boom, you have a moment of elevated awareness, and that elevated awareness now creates a moment of evaluation. I start evaluating my life. Well, why do I think that way? Why do I respond that way? Why do I say that? Why do I always say that negative thing every time somebody compliments me about something? I have this response. I respond, and you start thinking, oh, you know what? That's what my mom, I heard my mom say that. All my mom's like, everybody that complimented my mom, that's what my mom said. And now I'm saying something, and I'm like, it's never even dawned on me. Those things don't change if you don't have evaluation. See, what everybody says is they want to elevate their life. But listen, you don't elevate your life until you evaluate your life. Where there is no evaluation, there will never be any elevation. Why? Because you'll never do anything different. And the key to your life getting better is doing something different. I mean, nobody in this room is maxed out on life, right? Nobody in life has figured it all out, right? So we got to stay in the growth cycle. Now, I want you to notice this. Whenever you get into the growth cycle and you start practicing something that you didn't do, now all of a sudden you become aware, oh, there's actually more. Whoa, I'm practicing something new, but now it can actually get better, right? It's like playing football, right? And you're learning something new and you think, oh man, I've got the game mastered. Then you realize you're only in the sixth grade. No, but because you evaluate and you're practicing something new, it opens up your mind to a whole nother level. And so if you see this growth cycle, it should never stop. It just keeps going. And if you envision it just going up and to the right, like climbing the mountain, like a boulder rolling up the mountain, that's what the growth cycle should do for each and every one of us. Awareness, evaluation, practicing new things so that we can move to new places in life. Now, we just had all of the graduates up here, right? And we clapped for them, and it was so good that they got to graduate. Now, there's a difference between graduating school and graduating in life, because the school system fosters your learning. Life does not. In school, you show up in a classroom. The teacher teaches the class, tells you what you need to know for the test. There's a date that you know that test is going to be on. You go in there, you pass the test, and in school, unintentional about learning, then you don't learn. Solomon speaks to this. Solomon, the Bible says, is the wisest person ever to live in Proverbs chapter 1. And he writes these words. He says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. He says, they will help you learn to be wise. Everybody say learn. They will help you learn to be wise, meaning this, they nobody come out of the womb wise. Everybody had to learn to be wise. How did we define wisdom? We define wisdom as understanding what was most important ultimately. Nobody just showed up in life understanding what is most important ultimately. Nobody just got to a stage in life where all of a sudden they know what to do best situationally. No, they had to learn what mattered most ultimately, and they had to learn what was best situationally, and then they had to learn how to do those things consistently, and now we look at them and we say they're wise, and so many times it's easy just to check the box and say, well, I wish I would have been lucky like that. I wish I would have just had that. No, they had to learn that. So Solomon says, hey, you need to read the right stuff. Why? Because it will teach you to learn to be wise. Not just that, it'll help you accept correction, which every one of us could benefit from, and to understand wise sayings. They will teach you to develop your mind in the right way, which, whoa, what right there? Just say, it will teach you to develop your mind, meaning what? Number one, your mind needs to be developed. And number two, if your mind can be developed in the right way, it also means that your mind could be developed in the wrong way, right? See, I mean, even Louisiana, we're pretty sharp, okay? Like, that's pretty good. I mean, we can get that, right? Is it going to be developed in the right way or is it going to be developed in the wrong way? And he says, you will learn to do what is right, because nobody just knows how to do what is right. You have to learn how to do what is right by your gaining of wisdom. You have to learn how to be honest. You have to learn how to be fair. These proverbs will make even those without education smart. Somebody say praise God. They will teach young people what they need to know, listen to this, and how to use what they have learned. There are some people walking around that have so much Bible memorization on the inside of them, but absolutely no wisdom, because they don't know how to use what they got. And they are making decisions. I mean, you just over here banging your head like, what in the world are they thinking, right? I mean, just like, they've even got it memorized in the King James Version, right? I mean, they got all this, but making the worst decisions, why? Because you got to know how to use what you got. That's wisdom. How do you use what you got? And Solomon says, you've got to learn how to do that. You got to take it in, not just so you can have it. People have memorized the scriptures. They're there. The principles are there. But you got to learn how to use what you got. And then it says, even the wise could become wiser by listening to these proverbs. Meaning it doesn't matter how wise you are, there's still more to learn. That's why we go from greater to greater. They will gain understanding and learn to solve difficult problems. You see, sometimes the thing that keeps us from moving from here to there in our life is simply the thing that Solomon talks about. It's just a lack of wisdom. It's a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of understanding where I have a desire to move there, but I don't have a design for growth that will help me get there. So I've got a desire to be everything that God created me. I really do love God with all of my mind, all of my heart. Like I really do have a desire for what God wants in my future, but I don't have a design for growth. See, David teaches us something because the Bible says this about King David, who's the greatest king in Israel. And this is what God said about David. He says, this is a man after my own heart. So what is he saying is David has the right desires. But David didn't just have the right desire. David was also hungry for a design because in Psalm 27, this is what he said. He says, teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path. For my enemies are waiting for me. Teach me how to live. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Now, David had real enemies, okay? I mean, like with spears and swords, right? David had real enemies trying to kill him. I mean, I seriously hope that when you walk out the front door, you don't have people like shooting bow and arrows at you, okay? But that's what David had. But listen, you do have an enemy. Jesus was clear that there is a thief. And that thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that enemy employs some other enemies, if you would. And it's enemies like comparison and enemies of distraction and enemies of hopelessness and fear and anxiety. And those enemies are trying to destroy your future. So don't just let this be David's prayer, teach me how to live. Let this be our prayer. Teach me how to live. Teach me how to live this life that takes me from here to there. You see, we can so shortchange Christianity sometimes, and we make Christianity all about the don't do's. Oh, you're gonna be a Christian? You're gonna follow Jesus? Oh, well, don't do that. Oh, and don't do that. And woo, let me tell you, you better not do that. And oh my God, you surely better not do that. And we turn Christianity into the don't do's instead of the great get to's. Because there are things that we get to do in Christianity. We get to live with supernatural peace. And we get to live with supernatural joy. And we get to live with supernatural power. We get to access supernatural things in our life. So Christianity cannot be summed up with the don't do's, because it will keep you here and it will never take you there. If you want to go there, you better get in alignment with the get to's, because it's what will help you get to where you want to go. Teach me how to live, David said, and lead me along the right path. Listen, you only take a path when you're trying to get somewhere. Ain't nobody ever took a path to nowhere, right? You take a path when you're trying to get somewhere. So what David is praying is he's saying, God, teach me how to live this life the way that you want me to live this life, because I want that to lead me along the right path, because I'm trying to go somewhere, God. I'm trying to get into this next level. I'm trying to go from my glory to glory. I'm trying to experience the greater calling that you have. I'm trying to go there. So teach me how to live if you don't think there's more on the other side of that answer. You don't say, lead me along the right path, if you don't think there's something on the other side of that path. You believe that there is more. You believe that there is a promise that God has given that can be fulfilled. You believe that there is an abundant life that God has for you. Destin and I wrote a book entitled House Habits, and And in the book, House Habits, we kind of lay out a framework, and I'm just going to kind of revisit that framework for you today, because I really think it helps with us graduating in life. It helps us to move from here to there, and it's really three things in the framework. It's mission, it's mindset, and it's habit. And so I want to give you these three things real quickly, and then we're going to break for the day and have lunch and have a wonderful time. Here's the first part of the framework is mission. It's mission. What you are living for must be bigger than yourself. If you are going to go from here to there, living for your own happiness, living for your own fulfillment, living for your own gain, it is not going to take you from here to there. There needs to be an aim and a target for your future. I would say it to you this way today. When you don't have vision for a mission, you won't have direction for your days. When you don't have your eyes locked in and set on a mission that is in front of you, then what you will lack is the direction for your days. And what you spend your days doing is just wandering. Wandering and wondering. Oh God, I don't know what is going on. I don't know. I'm just out here in this big world and I'm just meandering through. I don't know. And then we're frustrated because we never end up there. Listen, friends, you're not going to wander into there. You're not going to drift into your there. No, you've got to get a vision for your mission. Why? So that you can give direction to your days. And Jesus understood this right from the beginning. That's why after he was crucified and resurrected, he shows up to his disciples and he shows up with very clear instructions. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus came and told his disciples after he has been resurrected from the dead. He says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all the nations. You go and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You go and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you ever wonder where our mission statement comes from when we say, hey, here at North Point, we have a mission at Christ Center. You know, it's like everybody says, does the whole deal. You ever wonder where that comes from? This is where it comes from. It comes from the Great Commission. But do you know what Jesus was also saying? In this Great Commission, you know what he was also saying? He was also saying this. Hey, don't just sit around and talk about how I impacted your lives. Get out there and impact somebody else's life. You know what Jesus was also saying in this Great Commission? Hey, don't just sit around here and talk about all the miracles you saw me do. Get out there and create some miracles for some other people. You know what Jesus was also saying? Don't just sit around this campfire and talk about the old stories. You get out there and you make some more stories. You make some new stories. You take my message and you get out there and you do something new. That's how you move from here to there. It's how you move into what God has next. You will not move from here to there if you are not fixed on the mission. But here's the second phase. You got to have the mindset. You got to have the mindset. If you don't get your mind right, you won't stay right. All right. If you don't get your mind right, you will not stay on the right path. James Allen, the philosopher, he said this. He said, you are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. Wherever you are today, you arrive there because your thoughts, your mindset brought you there. And wherever you are going tomorrow is where your thoughts are today. This is why we must commit. We must allow our commitment to the mission to shape our mindset. Hear me, something's going to shape your mindset. Something is going to shape your way of thinking. Something is going to drive your thoughts. I've got to make a commitment to let my mission shape my mindset. And I believe this is why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, he said, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Because there is a pattern that exists within the world. There is a pattern of God makes something brand new come out of your life. How? By renewing your mind. By changing the way you think, your mindset matters. Your mindset matters. And listen, your mindset, it comes from what you set your mind on. That's what we talk about. When we say mindset, your mindset is coming from what you set your mind on. This is why the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, he says, hey, you got to set your mind on things that are pure. You got to set your mind on things that are worthy of praise. You got to set your mind on things that are admirable. Why? Because whatever you set your mind on is going to create your mindset. And your mindset matters. You can either set your mind on your mission or you can set your mind on your misery. It's up to you. It's up to you. You can set your mind on the mission that God has for you, or you can set your mind on your own misery. Oh, what could have happened and what should have happened and all of my pity and all the things and oh, if this would have been different. You've got to decide. If you set your mind on the misery, guess in what direction your life is headed. This is what Craig Rochelle said, pastor of Life Church, biggest church in America. He says, your life is moving or your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So it's easy to know the direction that your life is moving today. What are you thinking about? Because your life is moving in that direction. And if you're thinking about all of your mistakes and all of the bad breaks and all of the heartaches, and if that's what you're thinking about, your life is moving in that direction. Or we can begin to shift our mind and set our mind on something different so that our life can begin to move in a different direction. You see, again, it's hard to move from here to there if we don't have a mission, but it's hard for us to move from here to there if we don't have the right mindset. Which takes us to the last, and that's our habits. Your habits are, it's just the actions and behaviors that become a regular practice in your life. And listen, you don't just move from here to there because you have a worthy mission. And you don't just move from here to there because you got a good mindset. You have to have healthy habits to support you in this journey. And at first, you have to work really hard to establish those habits in your life. But after you work hard to establish the habits, those habits will actually begin to establish you. Now, I don't know if it takes 21 days for a new habit, or 33 days for a new habit, or 44 days for a new habit, or 60 days for a new habit, or 83 days for a new habit, or 100 days for a new habit, because everybody's got the number of days. And I don't know. Here's what I know. It takes longer than I want it to. But after I do the hard work, hear me, after I do the hard work to establish a habit, that habit begins to establish me. And if you're like, man, I don't even really know where to start. Where do I even start with habits? Listen, that's why here at North Point, we got 12 house habits for you. Because if you don't have your own habits to establish you, you can take these habits and put them in your life, and I promise you, they will establish you. 12 habits, and we're going to put them on the screen right now because these are our house habits here. And listen, our house habits start with this: we live on. What does that mean? It means we live on through offense. We live on through disappointment. We live on through discouragement. We live on through challenges and adversity, through tripping and falling, through making a fool out of ourselves, from doing the thing that we never said we will do. We will always get back up. Why? Because I've got a habit in my life that I live on. I live on. And listen, if that's not a habit for you, none of these other 11 up there, they don't matter. That's why we establish it. Number one, this is the type of people that we are. So I don't trip and fall and get down here and be like, oh, how bad am I hurt right now? How bad did they hurt my feelings? Oh, am I bleeding out down here? No, we say, no, I've already made up my mind before I ever tripped and fell. I know who I am. I'm the person that always gets back up. Why? Because I live on. It's already decided. It's a habit in my life. We love big. We've already decided around here. We ain't got time to love small because God didn't love us small. For God so loved the world that he gave the very best gift he could ever give. So we're not going to love people small. We're going to love people big. We're going to open up our arms and we're going to love people the way that Jesus loves them. We protect unity. This is why you always hear us talking about racism and sexism and elitism and all the other isms that are out there. Why? Because we're going to protect unity because Jesus died for everybody and God loves everybody. And we're going to talk about that. Why? Because unity is important. And whenever there's unity, there's blessing. And listen, I want to be blessed by God. So I want to create what God said would be blessed, and that's unity. Yes. And we're going to protect that at all costs. We're going to honor consistently. We're going to honor consistently. Listen, I don't honor you because of who you are. I honor you because of who I am. Those people say, that person, they kind of a scoundrel, you know? I mean, they kind of done all this. Listen, I'm not determining whether you are worthy of honor. I've already decided I'm the type of person that is honorable. And so I will honor you as if the only thing I have to honor is that God created you and you are formed in his image. I'm going to honor you and I'm going to honor consistently because that's who I am. So therefore, I'm not looking at everybody through the microscope about how are you living and how are you doing and what did you, and all these different things. No, I've already decided I'm going to honor you because that's who I am. It's already decided. We lean in. You know what that means? We don't lean back. We don't fold our arms. We're not skeptical. We don't do, they're going to have to just prove themselves to me. I'm just going to see. I'm just going to kind of sit. No, I'm leaning in. I'm leaning in. I've got the posture to say, hey, I'm leaning into the word. I'm leaning into the truth. I'm leaning into what God wants to do. And listen, when you lean in, it also means that you lean into the problem. You lean into the adversity. You lean into the situation. I'm always leaning in. Why? Because that's who we are. We lean in. And then we grow intentionally. That's what this whole message has been about. Skip. All right, we embrace discipline. We embrace discipline. We don't run from discipline, and we don't just tolerate discipline. We embrace discipline. Destiny likes to say we bring it in close and kiss it on the cheek because we realize discipline is the secret sauce, because if you can't learn to discipline yourself, somebody else is going to have to do it. So we want to embrace discipline, self-discipline. We want to discipline ourselves so that other people have... Or so God doesn't have to himself. Okay, moving right along. Okay, we practice honesty. If you've been around here any length of time, you've probably heard me say, I believe the hardest thing you will ever do in life is to be 100% gut level honest with yourself. The hardest thing you will ever do in life. So what does that mean? We got to practice that. We got to practice, and I've got to practice being honest with myself, because I can't be good at being honest with you if I haven't even learned how to be honest with me. We practice honesty, and then we lead out. And we're not waiting for somebody else to go first. We'll step up. We'll take the job. Well, nobody else is feeding kids here. Okay, we'll step up. We're going to lead out of who we are. Is anybody else giving uniforms? No, nobody else is giving uniforms. Okay, we'll step up, and we'll lead out of that. We will lead out of who we are. We will lead out of our strength. We lead out. We give generously. We don't ever have to think around here. We give generously. I remember a number of years ago, we were giving something away for, I can't remember if it was Mother's Day or some special day, and somebody came up and they said, my mother-in-law, she couldn't make it today, and can I have a gift for her? And the work out there came to us and said, what should we do if people ask for two? You know, I got the instruction, just one for every person, but somebody asked for two. What do I do? Listen, it's simple. It's simple when you got a habit. I don't have to think, what do I do? No, we give generously. And if she'd asked for 10, I'd say, let me go get a bag. I'm going to get you a bag. I'm going to get 10 in here. Why? Because it's a habit. We give generously. So we are always going to give. Why? Because we've already established this is who we are. Going to give generously, and then we're going to cheer enthusiastically. Ain't got to be around here too long. We got you clapping every 10 seconds around here, you know. Hey, clap for the middle school. Hey, clap for this, clap for that. Everybody clap. You say, oh man, you see this, I say this all the time, but we ain't the church. You come with your little cute golf clap. Leave your golf clap at home. If you come here, you better cheer enthusiastically like you are losing your mind. But here's what happened. We say, well, I don't know any of those graduates. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know Savannah up here being prayed. We're going to be a missionary. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. She might flake out and come home and tell her. I mean, should I cheer for her? I don't know her. Should I cheer for her? No, I cheer enthusiastically. I cheer because there's an opportunity to cheer. I don't know you, and I might not even like you, but I'm going to cheer for you whenever they are. Ah! Because why? Because I've already determined that in my heart. I'm going to cheer enthusiastically. It's the way I'm going to live. And finally, we stay on mission. And you know what helps you stay on mission when you live all these other habits? Our habit says we're going to stay on mission because we're going to live out these habits, and these habits will help us live out our mission. Our habits remind us of our mindset and reinforce our mission. It is hard to graduate in life. Hear me today. It's hard to graduate in life and move from here to there whenever you are waking up every morning trying to figure out who you're going to be. It's hard for you to go from here to there when you wake up in the morning and say, oh, how do I feel today? Do I feel like being nice today? How do I feel today? Do I feel like forgiving my spouse today? How do I feel today? Do I feel like reading my Bible and sacrificing it? How do I feel today? How am I feeling? And so many people, listen, so many people live this way, and then they wonder why they don't move to there, because there is only one way to move from here to there, and it is whenever I am consumed with a mission and I get my mindset on the right things and I get healthy habits that help me take the steps that I need to take to move me into what God has for me next. And I don't get there by wandering and drifting. Well, let's see how I feel today. Well, let's see how they treat me today. Well, I tell you what, if my boss says that one thing, I will give him a piece of my mind. So that boss says that thing, and then you say your thing, and you say, I did the best thing. I gave that boss a piece of my mind. But what you didn't know is that him a piece of your mind. Because I woke up going, how do I feel today? I'm not living by habits. I haven't pre-decided this is who I'm going to be. And then we wonder why we don't move from here to there. And then we get frustrated. Come on, let me talk to you, 11:15. Let me talk to you for a moment. We get frustrated with God. God, why are you not doing what you promised you would do? And God's like, because you're giving people a piece of your mind. God, you promised me this abundant life. God, you said I could move from glory to glory. God, you said there was more for me. God, you said greater things are yet to come. God, this is what you said, and I'm not seeing it. God's like, okay, great. You got a desire for growth. Fantastic. Now let's get a design for growth. Now let's get a design that will take you into what God has for you. Come on, I want you to stand with me today. And we got a desire to move forward. Now we need the design to help us get there. You throw the lead acrostic up there. Great, you already beat me to it. What did we learn today? We must grow in order to go from here to there. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen because you pray one prayer or you have one wish that things would get better. No. You have to grow there if you want to go there. Evaluation. Is my daily life designed for growth? Very simple. Is your daily life right now designed for growth? If not, here's the thing. The application, the action step is this. Intentionally improve one area this week. Whatever area that is, dealing with your mission, dealing with your mindset, dealing with your habits. Maybe your mind is just all on the wrong things. Your mind is on the 24-hour news and all these things that are happening and all this stuff and, oh, God, what's going on? And your mind is just set on the wrong thing. And so your emotions are moving in the wrong direction. Set your mind on what is true. Set your mind on what is good. Set your mind on what is righteous. Set your mind on those things above. Set your mind on that. And now watch how your life changes. is for one thing. You need a habit in your life? Take one of those house habits. You ain't got to be creative and create your own. I mean, we got 12 of them. I mean, this all covers every aspect of life. Just take one. Put it in your life. Just one. And then it leads you to the D. That's just do it again. Do it again. Hey, just do it again and 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 again. Awareness, evaluation, practice of awareness, evaluation. Just stay in that growth cycle. And guess what? All of a sudden, you start moving from here to there. You start moving from where you are right now into what your heart has always desired. The fullness of everything God created you for. I want you to bow your heads with me just for a moment. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you for the holiness of this moment. God, I feel a holiness in this very moment that today somebody is going to make a decision. Somebody's going to make a decision to not just live with the desire, but to create a design. Somebody in this place today, in this holy moment in your presence, is going to say, God, I'm tired of being frustrated. I'm tired of being disappointed. I'm tired of being stuck here with a desire for there. I don't want just a desire, God. I want a design. Teach me how to live your way. And lead me along the right path. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, if you would say, Philip, I don't want to just live with desire. I want to live with the design. Hey, you may have a great design right now, and man, you may have it all marked out, and you might be on a great path. Or maybe today, say, Philip, I'm really lacking when it comes to a design for growth. I've got the desire. I really want to please God. I really want everything that God has for me. I say yes to God's more. But I don't have the design that's going to take me there. I don't have the mission, the mindset, or the habits. You say, man, that's what I want. Whether you're already living it or that's what you want, you say, Philip, that's what I want my life to be marked by. Philip, I want my legacy to be. I didn't just have a desire for God, but I had a design for God to lead me and work in. You say, Philip, that's what I want all the days of my life, the desire and the design to move from here to there. Come on, if that's you, just slide your hand up right there where you are. Say, that's what I want, Philip. Not just a desire, I want the design. I want the design. I want the design. Come on, with that hand lifted right now, I want you just to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. I need your love and your grace. I need your power and your forgiveness. I believe you are who you say you are, and you can do what you say you can do. I am ready to live my life, to move from here to there, not just to have the desire, but to create the design. Father, I thank you for each and every person in this place. God, Father, I sense it so strongly right now that there is a moment of awareness that's taking place that people in their mind are going, oh, that's why. Oh, now I see, okay, it's not just having more desire. Listen to me, I feel this impressed so strongly by the Holy Spirit right now, is that maybe there has been a message that's been taught or preached, or maybe it was just your own interpretation, that what you needed was more desire. And so you've been trying to get more and more and more and more and more and more desire for God. But what you found yourself becoming was just more and more and more and more and more and more frustrated. because you're like, there's no way I can have more desire. My desire is full and overflowing. Listen to me right now. I know I'm speaking to multiple people in this room right now. I can feel it so strongly. No, you have the desire. Now what God wants to do is come and help you create the design. God wants you to be like David and say, teach me how to live. Show me everything that's holding me back. Teach me what it is to think kingdom and live kingdom and be kingdom. Teach me how to live this radical life. Teach me how to be generous. Teach me how to forgive. Teach me how to live on. Teach me how to love big. Teach me how to lean in. Teach me how to cheer enthusiastically. Oh God, come and teach me how to live life your way. And then lead me along the path, your path. I don't want to try to figure it out on my own. I don't want to go my own path. God, you lead me down the path that's going to take me from here to there. Listen, you don't need more desire. You need a design. You need a growth design for your life, for your mission, for your mindset, and for your habits. And listen to me, you're not alone right now. Listen, this ain't self-help. This is God help here. You're not alone. You're saying, God, teach me how to live. God, come and be with me. Come and be intimate with me. Teach me, show me, reveal it to me. Lead me down this path. I'm not going without you, God. You got to lead me. You got to hold my hand, God. You got to show me how to walk this path. Teach me, lead me. You're not going alone. You're going with God. From you're here to you're there. Graduation moments. From glory to glory, from greater to greater, from miracle to miracle. God, let the initial desire turn into an intentional design that moves us into the fullness of the life that you created us for. And it is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray and believe today. Come on, if you believe that, put an amen on it this morning.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.